It's RJ here from the Ringside Rant. Have you guys ever wanted to start a podcast? You didn't have the time or the money to do so, but if you head over to anchor.fm right now and set up your free account, you can start podcasting right now. You can record, you can edit right from your computer, your phone, wherever you may be. Upload it right to the platform and have it distributed to Spotify, to Apple, to Google, wherever you want your podcast, it'll be there. It's all right there in one easy platform. Thanks to our friends over at Anchor.
Can't get enough wrestling talk? Well, check out Ringside Rant with top guys RJ and Justin, the kings of ranting. The new shows drop each Friday morning at 9 Eastern, and it'll take you back to the good old days of pro wrestling, but also the not so good days. Ringside Rant is available on all podcast platforms, as well as full press coverage, Wrestling with Johnners Network, and the Shining Wizards Network. You can also follow the show on Twitter at @_ringsiderant. It's Ringside Rant with RJ and Justin. New shows drop Friday morning at 9 Eastern. That's Ringside Rant with RJ and Justin. A couple of top guys doing top guy stuff. It's Ringside Rant with RJ and Justin. New shows Friday mornings at 9 Eastern.
It's Friday. It's 9 a.m. You know what that means. Another great episode of the Ringside Rant is with you this week. And introducing your host, he is Cincinnati's favorite son, J.D. Justin Davis. And from Rochester, New York, he is the man with the magical voice, RJ. And as always, welcome to Ranters Nation. Welcome to episode 142 of the Ringside Rant. I am, and forever will be, the man with the magic voice, the man. I don't know where I'm going
to
go from here.
He's ready to break a 31-year playoff losing streak by the Bengals this Saturday, as we shall take on the Oakland, LA, Las Vegas. What's their name? The Raiders.
The Raiders. I don't know at this point. I just think they're pretty much anybody, and they want to be at
this already beat them once this year, so now we get to play them at our place, and I am feeling good. It's a good time to be a Bengals fan.
Well, it's a good time to be a Bills fan, too, because we got those bastards from New England coming to Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
And as you noticed, when Anthony Pyrus started it, I was going to be nice and say, hey, you know, I'm going to be a nice guy. I'm not going to cut a promo on his ass for the New England game. But I decided to, reciprocate the whole crap that he put us through. And, he can't put the fire out now, let me tell you.
Well, but it'll be, I think that'll be a good game, actually. That'll be an interesting one.
You know, a lot of people are saying, everybody that knows football and watches football on a regular basis, oh, it's all going to be all New England. It's all New England. It's all New England. Yeah, it's going to be like 10 degrees, no snow this time, but it's still going to be pretty damn cold in Buffalo. And I'm just going to be happily watching it from my heated home in front of my 70-inch TV, watching the Bills beat the shit out of the Patriots. So obviously this episode
tell we're ready
for it. Yeah, no
kidding.
You can
tell we are ready. I have my Bengals polo on that I wore to work today. I just got off work. We are recording on Thursday afternoon, the day before you guys are hear this on Friday. And RJ's sitting over there with his Bills t-shirt on. So we are fired up and ready to go, as a great president once said.
Yeah, I learned the hard way not to buy any jerseys of the Bills, because the two jerseys I bought were Lee Evans when he was drafted out of Wisconsin, and Mario Williams when they got him from Houston. And those two guys pretty much didn't last too long. So I've kind of not bought any jerseys, and I've gone with the t-shirts and hoodies and all that stuff. So
what's going to happen if we have a Bengals Bills AFC championship game?
I don't think we're gonna be able to. I don't think we're gonna be able to broadcast or podcast anymore together because we'll be going at it like cats and dogs. Nah, probably not. We'll be fine. They made it through. What was that? 890? Was it 90 or 89 when they faced at? What was it?
Not I think it was Rivers. 90.
Synergy. They played at Synergy.
Riverfront Stadium Riverfront. At the time.
Yeah, Riverfront. Yeah. Synergy and was the Reds.
Well, it was the same stadium, but they just renamed it later on in the 90s.
Right.
What are we talking about today, RJ?
So we're going to continue our march to the 2005 Royal Rumble today. We're going to be going over the SmackDown from January 13th, 2005, from the St. Pete's Forum in Tampa, Florida. If you want to watch this with us, you certainly can. It is season 7, episode 2 on the Peacock. So go over there and watch it if you want to see what happened with this great episode, which, you know, a lot of this stuff kind of really can't really be played, can't be done today, as we saw before we get into our opening contest. We saw them do this little promo with Kurt Angle and Amy Weber. From last week's episode,
and Kurt was not. I could have went without looking at Kurt and his underwear there. Underwear, it's like bikini briefs. And I understand, you know, they're doing it for comic relief, and it was funny. Yeah. Yeah. But I was just like, oh, that's not a good look.
Well, this is towards the end of that. You can really consider this the end of the Attitude Era. This is like Ruthless Aggression. Because I think it pretty much kicked it off when John Cena slapped Kurt Angle across the face on SmackDown in his debut match. But this is that Ruthless Aggression. They're still kind of towing the line a little bit here with the shower scene and all that crap. And I think there's a place for anything in wrestling nowadays, and even in 2005. But man, I couldn't watch this with Gavin in the room. I could tell you that much. But right before we send it up to Rich, I want to get your thought real quick on the stage setup here with the fist stage. Lot of people like it.
I didn't mind it. I kind of looked at that and I remember it. It's kind of interesting. It's very early 2000s, you know, 2005 kind of era, just kind of brings you back into that time period. But it is what it is. I could really go for it or leave it, take it or leave it.
It's just one of those classic. They sometimes go back to it now. They do with those graphics now on SmackDown on Fox. They kind of superimpose it now, but I'm like, you can't do that. You got to go back to the old stage. I know now they're kind of saving money, saving costs, and I get that. But another guy that doesn't save costs because he wears a tux to the ring each and every time he announces for Limitless Wrestling, he is Mr. Rich Palladino. So let's send it up to the ring to him right now.
It's the opening contest.
So, Justin, they're starting off SmackDown here with a backstage segment with Kurt Angle walking up to the Big Show and Joey Giovanni. As you saw on this SmackDown, Amy Weber didn't have her own personal locker room. It was the locker room of one Joey Giovanni. And they're really playing up this angle between Angle, no pun intended, the angle between Kurt Angle and the Big Show, as well as JBL and his cabinet as too. What were your thoughts? You know, a lot of people nowadays, I know you don't watch the current product as much, and I don't really watch it as much either, but a lot of people kind of discredit WWE now for starting with a backstage segment. During this time, that's what they did as well.
Yeah, I mean, you get basically, the backstage segment is to set up that night's storyline, right? And so that's what they're doing here. They're setting up this whole storyline with Big Show and JBL and all that stuff, which we start that, and then we end the show with that. So that's pretty much what these backstage storylines are for, or backstage segments.
Yeah, so Kirk just goes up the show and wants to humbly apologizing to Joy for last week, saying that they were both humiliated by JBL. You know, like you said, they're really playing up this angle here. And I kind of dug it. What about you?
Yeah, I didn't mind it. I don't know who any of these girls are.
People did anyways, going back and watching it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking, I'm like, who are these chicks and why did people care about them? But, you know, overall, I didn't mind the segment. I didn't mind this first match either.
Yeah, we saw a tag team fatal four-way. The titles are on the line. Your current tag team champions are RVD and Rey Mysterio taking on the Basham Brothers, who are the Secretary of Defense for JBL's cabinet versus...
Yeah, I like that whole gimmick, his cabinet. Yeah,
I loved it.
Yeah.
And they're taking on Eddie Guerrero and Booker T, taking on Kurt Angle's henchmen, Mark Jindrak and Luther Reigns.
RVD.
Right. And we're seeing Ray come out with a 619 cam. Dude, times have changed, man. You know, we saw, you know, Tyler Breeze come out with the whole selfie stick with his phone there. I didn't hate it, but I'm like, all right, come on, dude. Really? Really?
Yeah, now people will just come out with their cell phone. Back then, we might have had cell phones, but there wasn't no fucking cameras on them, that's for sure.
Well, no, you actually had to flip it open. Christ, that was, or even slide it up. That's how mine was, my first one. Yeah. I got.
I mean, for me, watching this tag team match, it was just sad to know that, think that Eddie only has around 10 months of his life left here in January of 2005. And I just had such a good time watching him in this match. I just really think that this was just such a fun period of time for his character.
Yeah. And keep in mind, this is also elimination match too. So we're going to see a lot of, we saw Eddie and Ray really kind of team up to get rid of Jindrak and Reigns earlier on here, which I found kind of interesting because the team of Jindrak and Reigns, man, I loved Mark Jindrak, especially in his WCW days. Luther Reigns, you could take or leave him, but they kind of did some lie, cheat, and stealing here with between Ray and Eddie. Obviously, their history with them in WCW and early here in WWE, but this is just classic Eddie, man.
Yeah, I liked him in the teal tights too, teal with the purple kind of flames down the side. That was kind of cool.
And I kind of enjoyed the team of Eddie and Booker because it was kind of like Team WCW.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, when they get to this finish, I kind of, and you know, from someone that hasn't watched this, I knew who was going to win this match kind of from the beginning, because I could tell they were going to want to put the belts on the Bashams and get more heat on that whole JBL administration, you know. And other than Jindrak and what's his name there, those other two teams weren't really teams. So they would be weird people to put the straps on, you know.
Well, they put the straps here on RVD and Ray, and RVD's really selling that knee injury here with this whole ginormous brace. And they're saying that Taz and Michael Cole are really selling it as well on the broadcast. I couldn't really find any in my research. I couldn't find any distinct injuries. He's always had knee issues.
Mm-hmm.
That being RVD. But at this time, I couldn't find anything specific. At least Googling the internet anyways. To go back with Mark Jindrak, man, I really want to touch briefly on him before we move on. I didn't really think they missed an opportunity with him because he was supposed to be a member of Evolution in place of Batista. And they kind of did the old switcheroo. And you can probably go on the internet again and still find some vignettes that they had with Jindrak in there. And like I said, nothing against Batista. He gelled just fine, but I think Jindrak would have fit a hell of a lot better.
Yeah, I just don't know enough about Jindrak to really have an opinion on that, because I do know that he was supposed to be in it, and then that kind of got nixed. I just didn't watch enough of his stuff here to really know how well that would have worked.
Yeah, because he was really getting pushed towards the end of WCW there in 2000 and 2001 as well as a part of a tag team. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. I want to say, it wasn't Sean O'Hare, because Sean O'Hare and Chuck Palumbo were tag team.
Okay.
I'm trying to think on who the hell, I'll have to Google it. It's going to bug the crap out of me. But I know he's a big tag team wrestler. So putting him with Luther Reigns here was kind of a no brainer, but I just wish they would have done a hell of a lot more with him. And he's even local here in New York. I think he's from like Syracuse or Syracuse area anyways. But we're going to see Doug Basham really take out RVD here at the end, setting up this knee injury angle with the ring steps. And as they've done before, the Bashams do the old switcheroo and pin Rey Mysterio to win the tag team championship. Excuse me. Did you really believe the Bashams push here? Like you said at the beginning, they're really kind of planting the seed of the cabinet, but did you really believe in this tag team at this time in 2005?
Well, you know, I wasn't really paying attention, but if they're, like I said, I feel like they are the right people to put the title on here. It's that old tried and true formula. If you want to get a heel over, you put, you know, in their stable, you put all the belts on them, like the Four Horsemen, like the Hart Foundation in 97. And it looks like that's what they're going back to here. You know, JBL's got the world title. You put the tag team straps on these guys and just get more heat on your heels that way.
Yeah. And finally, where would you put Eddie Guerrero on the Mount Rushmore of best workers of all time?
Yes, absolutely.
It just all across the board, whether it be WCW, WWE here, wherever, ECW, Japan, whatever. He did that. In my eyes, he deserves to be up there.
No, he's definitely on mine and has been for a long, long time.
You know,
I've always said that, in my opinion, 1997 Eddie Guerrero was maybe the best wrestler I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. Oh, by far. One guy we really should, a lot of people forget, is this next interview with Josh Matthews backstage with Hiroki and Kenzo Suzuki.
I was going to say something about Josh Matthews too. The hair that he has here is so 2005.
Well, it's like the spiky and the frosted tip. I think everybody had frosted tips too.
Yeah. It is just classic. If you guys don't watch the show at all, just go back for this interview.
Just segment. Google Check it. Just Google Josh Matthews 2005. You know what we're talking about. But then they cut to this another backstage segment with JBL, Orlando, Jordan, Amy Weber, and even the Big Show. Big Show says Joey Giovanni got hurt last week and demands that JBL apologizes or else. I could have done without the Big Show in this angle. I really wish it would have been just Angle and JBL, but they got to find something big for Big Show to do. And then we're going to see Amy confront Joy, saying that she craves attention that makes her nothing but a slut, which at this time, that's kind of, like I said, they're toying the line here, Justin. I just don't like it.
Your mother's a whore.
Well, right, but there's any era.
What's your thoughts on JBL's belt here?
Oh, this
version of
the Undisputed.
Yeah,
I just think it was. I didn't like it just because I feel like it was just thrown together. Hey, we need something to unify both these titles, and it kind of just
Fence on it. I kind of like it and I kind of don't, but I think I side on the more I like it side of that. That belt isn't bad. I mean, it looks like a championship belt.
There's nothing to it though. When you think of a championship, you think of like Big Eagle, Wing Eagle, Big Gold. Mm-hmm. Get some bells and whistles. This is just kind of bland to me.
Well, speaking of belts, I saw today that Conrad's getting ready to do another
19th. Oh,
title chase. Right. And he's doing the winged eagle. And right. he asked today on Twitter, who is the best winged eagle WWE champion? And we all know it's the Hitman, without question. So we can.
Now, see, I made sure I put my two cents in there because I had to say Austin. Because I knew.
Yeah, but he only had that belt for one day.
Doesn't matter. I just wanted to say anybody but Bret Hart, to be honest with you.
I mean, Hogan is probably the right answer, but I'm going Hitman.
Yeah, probably. Well, Hogan held it for so fucking many times and so long that it was kind of synonymous with him. Yeah.
But I'll tell you who the last answer is, the Ultimate Warrior.
Geez, no, that's nobody's choice for anything. But this cabinet, man, I just think this is one of the most legit factions in this era. And even considering Evolution, JBL was so, it has been so underrated as a heel and a performer just in general. Obviously, with his days with APA, with Ron Simmons, it was kind of like, okay, we're having some fun here and not taking anything too seriously. This is serious.
They were badasses, though, in that tag team.
Right. And they're badasses in general. But I think that this was a legit faction here.
Yeah. No, I think so too. I enjoyed all of the JBL stuff in this show, and this show is very JBL heavy.
So we're going to see the Kurt Angle Invitational coming up next, which is kind of ironic because we're going to see Bruce Steele and Antonio Banks. Antonio Banks, he might seem a little familiar to you. He is the current day MVP. So go back and check that out. And you see a very young MVP. These two guys here are from the NWA Florida, and they worked as security for Kurt Angle at this time with his the gold medal in the Kurt Angle Invitational. Yeah.
I like how he brought the cops out to get the gold medal out of the box and show people.
Oh, exactly. It was just, that he's was just good. Playing it up so well.
Before we got to this match, though, they did give us a commercial for Raw and SmackDown are going to be live from Japan here coming up, which is interesting. I don't remember them doing that. I guess they did.
Yeah, they did a couple of tours and their overseas tours, but they're pretty much out of that now. I don't even think they're seen in Japan anymore.
This was the first time they went to Japan though and did a Raw and SmackDown from there. Right. Yeah.
But back to this Invitational, you're going to see a very young Roderick Strong. So it was kind of like, it's interesting what could have been if Roddy Strong stayed in WWE here in 2005, because obviously he's known for his work in ROH. He comes out strong here, full of piss and vinegar, and slapped the shit out of Kurt Angle, who basically chased Roddy around the ring. Just typical, hey, you know I'm going to lose, but I might as well get my shots in kind of first, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Kurt Angle gets some brutal retaliation here. And I don't know how close this was to a shoot, though, because, you know, both these guys can go for sure. Eventually Kurt Angle won a pretty tough fight here on the Invitational. And like I said, what could have been here, man? I know you don't watch a lot of the current stuff, but Roddy Strong is probably legitimately one of the better workers here in NXT over the last number of years.
Yeah, he's still rolling.
So our next match is going to be for the U.S. Title between your champion, John Cena, taking on Kenzo Suzuki in a very quick match, man.
Yes, it was. I didn't even write any notes because it happened so fast.
And Cena's over like Rover here. He really is. He won the U.S. title from the Big Show at WrestleMania 20 year before here. At Madison Square Garden, and he's really been on a roll. He switched this title over to the Spinner U.S. title. What are your thoughts on the Spinner title? Obviously, this is the first of many we're going to see going over the next couple of years.
Yeah, that's a thumbs down for me. I know it's kind of all about Cena's gimmick, but I don't like that. I just think it makes the title kind of a toy almost more than something that means something.
Yeah. So we're going to see two more backstage segments here. One with JBL and Amy Weber, and she's complaining that she has to fight Joy, and then Big Show and Joy are showed, and Joy says she can't wait to get her hands on Amy. I just, like you said, women's wrestling at this time is kind of like, nah. You know, there's nothing really to it. Nobody knows who these two people are.
Well, they didn't even have a match. That shows you how much they knew people didn't care about it.
Well, right. So we don't see Amy. You see Joy in the ring. Or excuse me, we see Amy in the ring. And she's looking all nervous, blah, 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 whatever. And Joy doesn't come out. So Amy's declared the winner. And she starts celebrating. So you know what's going to happen with that. Somebody abducted her and blah, blah, blah. They're playing this whole freaking stupid angle. We're seeing Theodore Long backstage with Charles Robinson, who's never aged a bit, even from 2005 to now. Big Show's back there, and all the agents are back there. It's just a huge, giant clusterfuck, man. I just did not. This is the part of the show where I kind of fast forward, to be honest with you.
Well, the one thing I do really enjoy is Teddy Long as the GM. I think he is funny, a funny guy to me. I love the way he words things. And just having him back there as the GM, I think, is a bonus for him.
Yeah. And this is one of the first times where Theodore Long really addresses Steve Kern, acknowledges him on that. TV. You don't see that very often where you're calling out the agents by name. The old Skinner, if you will.
Skinner. He's looking a little bit un-Skinner-like in a suit and tie back there.
So we're also going to see another. These backstage segments just took too goddamn long. So we're going to see Heidenreich come in and talk to Theodore Long about this casket match he's going to have with The Undertaker at Royal Rumble at the end of the month. And Theodore Long says it's still on. And I never got
Heidenreich is scared to death of the casket, so he don't want to have the casket match.
So he's like the current day Yokozuna, who is deathly afraid of the caskets when he faced Undertaker in casket match.
Yeah, you always have like a big nasty heel, but like his big like crack in his armor is the fact that he's deathly scared of something. Like I think Kamala was scared of snakes when Jake the Snake was, you know, fighting him as a. So that's kind of another tried and true formula that Bruce goes back to, I think, a lot of times.
Yeah, I really think that Bruce Prichard had a lot to do with all these casket matches, these gimmick matches, because it just reeks of Bruce Prichard booking to me.
Yeah.
But they're still playing up this Joy Giovanni angle being disappeared, JBL's. JBL says that he didn't do it because he's accepted an award. So that doesn't mean, and of course means that he didn't do anything. And it's just a lot of name calling here, calling Joy a stupid bimbo. And it's just stuff that it doesn't age well.
Yeah, there is some stuff on here. I accidentally watched the Raw from this week too, because I forgot we were doing SmackDown. And they had a women's match there where they did a roll up. It was a lingerie match and they did a roll up and her butt was showing and all the thong was there. I mean, I'm not saying it was bad, but I doubt they would have that on there today.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they wouldn't. And another thing that they aren't going to have anymore on current product is the Cruiserweight title. We're going to see Sho Funaki taking on Nunzio. The only thing that I really took out of this, and thanks to Devin Dowling for pointing it out, is the chick in the background basically jumping up and down. I don't know if you noticed that, but that's pretty much the only thing that I took away from this Cruiserweight match.
This Cruiserweight match was super short. Not a lot to it. Some decent moves and some decent wrestling for the short amount of time that it was going on, but it was just kind of a quick, almost a squash match for Funaki here.
You know, and Funaki was always that guy you could always depend on. Same thing with Nunzio, you can really say, but it's just Cruiserweight title matches were not one to really hang your hat on at this time. Later on, obviously, it would become more prevalent, but or even previous in WCW, but not here. So backstage, we're going to see Theodore Long being the detective.
It's like anything else that they tried to do that had like WCW background to it. They just treat it as second last. Yeah.
So we're, like I said, we're going to see Theodore Long being Mr. Detective here, suspecting Carlito was behind the abduction of Joy. And basically saying that he abducted her because he wasn't signing his petition. So context to this is Carlito is new
trying
to the
Teddy
company.
Long. He's trying to get Teddy Long out.
Right. Excuse me. He's trying to get Teddy Long out as the GM of SmackDown. He signed his petition. Everybody's signing it. He's on Raw. He's on SmackDown. He's just trying to get everybody to sign it to get Theodore out. But give him something to do, I guess. So we're still seeing him go out. Tori and Miss Jackie show up and they saw Orlando near Joy's locker room and before the match. And it's just, it doesn't age well, man.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think it's terrible. I mean, they've done a lot worse.
Right.
You know, but it is what it is. It's so, just 2005. That's all you can say about it. I mean, it's just so weird how times have changed in the last 15 years. Just with everything, really, but especially with, you know, when it comes to women and what you can say, what you can do. You know, back then they would tombstone a woman left and right if they wanted to. And now, you know, WWE stays away from that as much as they can, I think, for good reason. But everyone's views on that type of stuff is just, and, you know, on, for instance, I know that Jerry Lawler asked Goldust one time if he was a Q word, you know, yeah. Just views on that have changed and all kinds of stuff now to where, you know, and I'm sure people think it's whitewashed now, but, or is it just not being an asshole? You know what I mean? As far as Vince and their, and how they treat those topics.
So we're going to see, I'm going to try to skip ahead just so we can get to this main event or the semi main event, whatever the hell you want to call it. Get to this in ring segment, we should say, with B. Gordon Allensworth, the Florida Agriculture Group president. I don't know if this was shoot or it was a work. I have no idea. The cabinet's in there. Angle showing up, show showing up. And it's JBL's basically delivering this very prepared, elaborate acceptance speech. I don't know. They're setting up this angle. This is all that's good for. There's no wrestling main event. I don't get it. I don't like it. I think it's just stupid. But Angle comes out and says JBL is trying to make the Big Show so upset that he takes himself out of the match. What did you think of this last segment, first and foremost?
I thought it was okay. I liked when Paul White kind of came out and just destroyed everything and shit all over JBL's big moment and took a chair to whoever that guy is, JBL's vice president.
Orlando Jordan.
Orlando Jordan, yeah. Just beat him senseless with a chair. You know, it is, I figured that's what this segment was going to be because it's just like a WWE wedding. What's going to happen? Something crazy is going to happen at the end and ruin the whole damn thing. And you knew JBL having this big ceremony, getting some dumbass award by, you know, the Florida Farmers of America or whatever the hell it was. You knew that something was going to come out and just ruin his big plans.
Well, you know, especially at this time, you know, if there's anything but if there's a segment at the last, a segment at the last segment of a TV show, especially in WWE, you know, it's not going to go well. It's not going to end well for somebody. And you know, that's what's going to happen. That's what happened here. And I could have done it without this. I'll be honest. I absolutely hated it. I know a lot of people liked it just because It's really setting up Angle as a heel. They basically show that Joy was actually in the back of JBL's limo in the trunk. And Angle comes to her rescue, blah, 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 blah. It's just stupid booking, I think. It's just absolutely ridiculous.
With JBL there, what'd you say there at the end?
They were in, Joy was actually in JBL's trunk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was, I don't know. It is kind of stupid, but also you knew that they knew where she was throughout the whole show.
And you knew that was going to happen, though. That's the problem. It's like this, you try to like have some sort of disbelief with these people, with these bookings, I should say. And it just doesn't ring true. And it's just watching this, because I'd watched this a couple times just to get ready for the show, and it pissed me off every time. It's like a traffic accident, this segment. You don't want to watch it, but you kind of have to kind of rubberneck a little bit to see it. And I'm like, yeah, what the fuck is going on with this shit? JBL.
I like how Big Show goes around and like is all worried about her. And the funny thing is, this must be the time period of like all the wrestlers have women that they're in love with. Like Kane was getting some bitch knocked up, Lita. And then now we got Big Show with all these, you know.
It just doesn't, especially now that we know how it ends. We know Big Show's married. We know JBL's married. Everybody's married at this time. Why do we need these stupid angles? Obviously, in 2005, I probably absolutely loved this. But now looking back on it, I'm like, what the hell? Why the hell did I like this shit? And this is probably about the only time in this era, this whole month, that I'm going to go off and rant on this shit. And it pissed me off.
Yeah. I'm kind of was slapping myself on the back saying, good job for not watching this shit.
Exactly. You watched Raw, which was probably a good move on your part. Yeah. But just to close out before we get over to our listener questions, but we see Kurt Angle backstage with Jindrak and Reigns, and Kurt Angle is shown laughing and talks to his boys saying that I love it when a good plan comes together, which basically means Angle is behind it all along and, you know, really putting on this heel character, which how the hell can you have a triple threat match with two heels? And we'll say Big Show's a face at this time, because, you know, he changes from heel to face like everybody changes their fucking underwear.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense. Why can't we have a singles match? Why do we have to have three guys? Oh, I get we want them to do something. I get it. Put Big Show in the fucking Rumble, for God's sake. That's what he's known for.
You know, he never won a Rumble, did he?
No, 99. He came close. He was the last one against The Rock.
Yeah, but he didn't win. I don't remember him winning one. No, I don't think he's ever. Kind of weird.
He's won Battle Royals. He won the Giant Battle Royal. That's his claim to fame. It's like, what the fuck? I'm like, I wish they would have done that here. But some guy that doesn't piss me off is Mr. Rich Palladino. So let's send it up to the ring to him now. If you have a business, you need a website. What's the best way to get a website up and running, you're probably asking? Well, choose a website hosting company that makes it simple, like Pear Networks. Pear has over 20 years of experience managing the entire digital ecosystem for thousands of online businesses all around the world. Pear makes it easy for you to do-it-yourself website building tools and features, including simple drag and drop page design, and they have a guaranteed US-based support technicians ready to help you wherever, whenever you need it, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Right now, when you sign up with Pear Networks, you'll receive one free month of web hosting. See for yourself how easy it is to build your website for free. Visit pear.com/free to get your first month free by using the promo code QUICKSTART. That's pear.com/free, promo code quick start.
It's listener questions.
All right, I didn't introduce Elijah like I did the last couple of weeks, but he is actually, he needs no introduction anyway. So he's just going to come in here, push the button. That's what he did. He does his job. He doesn't get paid much, but he gets paid peanuts, I believe.
You've trained a monkey successfully.
Hey, might as well. I can train somebody anyways or something. So our first question comes from Mr. Brad Stanton, another fellow top guy. So thank you for submitting your question. He asks, what did you guys think of the Kurt Angle Invitational? Who do you think can pull this off today? I'm assuming the invitation, and I think they pretty much have done it too.
On other beating promotions. Someone in 3 minutes or whatever.
Right. Basically.
Well, definitely Brock Lesnar.
Right.
Could pull that off easily. I mean, most of his matches are that anyway. So, you know, I would say he'd be the main guy for me.
But I really like this, the Kurt Angle Invitational, because it really shows his athletic ability, because you're basically getting jobbers coming in. You're getting guys, and let me put this way. I don't want to consider Roddy Strong a jobber, but in this aspect, he kind of was. Because you're coming in and you're getting your ass kicked by Kurt Angle. Okay, maybe you're doing the job. You're getting a nice little payday. But as far as this, the guy that could really pull it off today, and we've seen it, was Lance Archer in AEW. We saw him, Everybody Must Die. We saw him come back last night. It was a recording on Dynamite, taking out Adam Page. And another guy, if you want to go to like eight or WWE, you know, we get this dude, what's his, Omos, the dude with that was with AJ,
yeah,
the big dude, holy shit, that is big, he big dude.
Yeah,
I'm like, but all everything that I've heard is that he's a pretty damn good worker, and I'm like, hey, if somebody says he's a good worker, then I think it was like somebody legitimately in like up in the business said that he was a pretty good worker. So I guess that's
I want to do the Kurt Angle challenge against Money Mike, and it'll only take me a minute. I'll do it in a minute, under a minute.
All right. Well, what better time than any to go to Money Mike now?
Here comes the money.
Here we go. Money talk.
Here comes the money. Money.
All right. So Justin, he's got two questions this week, which he had like six of them. So I kind of whittled it down to two.
Good.
So his first question is, what were your thoughts on John Cena during this first month in 2005? Did you already see him winning the WWE title from JBL at WrestleMania?
Well, I really wasn't watching at the time, but to me, watching this episode, I can tell that they are putting the focus on him as pretty soon he's going to be their main baby face. So yes, I guess you can kind of see that coming. At least, you know, for me looking back at this, you can tell they gave him a ton of mic time at the beginning of his match. In fact, I thought it was too long. He was talking too long before his match happened here, but if they're giving you that much camera time, that much mic time, they're putting a rocket up your ass.
Yeah, I think they really thrusted him into the limelight when they did the whole angle with Kurt Angle with Ruthless Aggression, slapping him, even though he lost in his opening match. Fuck, dude, he was facing Kurt Angle, for God's sakes. But when you're beating the Big Show at WrestleMania for the U.S. title in 2004, you come here in 2005, and then you basically, you're going to WrestleMania against JBL. Dude, you get that rocket strapped to your backside, and you're going to the moon. And I think it turned out pretty good for him, I think.
Yeah, no doubt.
So his next question is, how well do you believe Raw and SmackDown did during this time at having each brand have its own unique vibe? Obviously with Raw, it was kind of the A show, you know, all the big time names were over on Raw: Triple H, Batista, Randy Orton, Chris Benoit, Jericho, Edge, Christian. And then SmackDown was really pinned as that, you know, that B show, even though you had the SmackDown group of, you know, JBL, Big Show, Kurt Angle, Eddie Guerrero, Rey Mysterio, later on Edge would come down over. So each brand has a unique ability where SmackDown was more of like later on the cruiserweight division was solely with SmackDown.
Wasn't SmackDown on UPN at the time?
When they debuted, they've gone through so many different.
I didn't even get UPN. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you had at this time or when it debuted, you know, a few seasons before this, Raw had to be the main one because SmackDown wasn't even available to the whole country for the most part, you know?
Not really until they went to,
they go to
TNN.
TNN.
And then they, no, that was Raw, excuse me. That Raw was TNN. Yeah. And then they went to, it was just, UPN was for just forever. And it's just like, when you're not on a major network, it's like, okay, what, it's like channel like 65. You know what I mean? Yeah. On cable, it's like, where the hell am I going to find these guys?
I feel like they did a good job trying to put their some stars over on the show. I mean, when you got the fucking Undertaker on there.
Right. He was another one that was over there with him.
You know, Paul Heyman and those
RVD
guys.
RVD was over here as well.
They were trying, and I feel like they were starting to build momentum maybe for SmackDown here, but I still don't think it was what Raw was.
But I also think when they started getting SmackDown started getting momentum a little bit, I really think that they kind of pulled the cord on it and they sent those guys over to Raw. You know, when they were really getting started and hot with like Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy, RVD, they put them over on Raw. It's like, what? You want to build this equal brand, but at the end of the day, we all know Raw is on a major network on USA. It's going to do better ratings. SmackDown, so it's kind of laying the weeds a little bit. Now, it's kind of the opposite current day where SmackDown's the better brand, I think. And then Raw is like, okay, well, Raw, you're doing Raw's Raw.
Yeah.
So Mike, thanks for those as well. Let's, our next group of questions is from the Devilish One himself, Devin Dowling.
Devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, boy, let me tell you what.
All right. So his first question is, were Michael Cole and Taz the best SmackDown commentary team of all time?
Probably. When you
know, this is probably more aimed towards me because I was kind of watching it this time, but no, which is fine. But Taz and Michael Cole just complimented each other so well. You know, Taz was playing up that heel-esque commentator where Michael Cole was kind of in between. He was doing a lot of backstage stuff as well at this time as far as the talent goes. But there wasn't really, until really current day with Pat McAfee and Michael Cole, there really hasn't been a decent SmackDown team. You know, you can say, okay, we had JR was over there with Paul Heyman, but it's like, okay, well, that was more of Raw. You know, that was during the 2001 era where, you know, you had the same announce team on both shows where they traveled all the time. Now you're having different brands, different announcers. It's like, okay, well, they worked together quite a bit. So they knew each other fairly well. And I think it showed on TV fairly well. So his next one is, I personally thought Teddy Long was fantastic here on SmackDown as a GM. What could Sonya Deville and Adam Pearce learn from Teddy as GM that could help them today? So a little context, Justin, because I know you don't watch the current stuff. Is Sonya Deville and Adam Pearce are kind of like the GMs of SmackDown and Raw right now. They kind of fought between the two shows. But I just think Teddy didn't get involved too much with the talent. And by involved, I mean be swayed by one person or the other.
Yeah, he seemed to always be kind of fair.
Right. Sonya Deville has kind of been that heel-ass character where Adam Pearce has kind of been the voice of reasoning. And it's like, okay, you guys can't get over. I know your characters, but you're GMs. You got to get the talent over. Don't get yourselves over. I know Sonya was kind of that talent where, for whatever reason, I don't know the history behind it, but hasn't been in ring that much. Adam Pearce was a former NWA champion, so we know what he can do. Just do your job. Take it from Teddy Long. Don't be partial to one side or the other. And I know probably they're being told by the writers, you got to do this, you got to do that. Just let them do what they fucking do. Don't let them go from one side to the other. That's me. And like I said, I don't watch it a lot, but from the shit I've seen, that's what I gather from it.
Got to be fair. It's like being a referee. Got to call it down the middle.
Yeah, you would know something about that, right?
Yeah. I don't think that people last night thought I was calling it down the middle.
So, something we do know something about is wrestling with music.
Let's get musical. Let me hear your body talk.
All right, Justin, so we got two more additions to the long list that it's getting to this week. We're up to 36 wrestling themes. I'll go over the top 10 real quick before we get to our two additions. As of right now, we are at Steve Austin at 1, NWO, Undertaker, Bret Hart, let that sink in, Amy Vaughn, Demolition, Jake Roberts, Ric Flair at number 8, The Four Horsemen at 9, and rounding up the top 10 is Dusty Rhodes, baby. So, as you watched Monday Night Raw by accident, then you had to go back and watch SmackDown again, what theme from this show did you grab at this week?
Well, I mean, I went with basically what the theme of the show was, which was JBL, so...
I gotta stop it, man.
Anything that has cows mooing is over with me. Down now,
was West that Virginia. A cow or is that a bull?
Well, it was something. It may have been a bull Viva with a cow, if you know what I mean.
As we get a little, introduction for our next one, Eddie had something to say about that. But anyways,
the thing about that theme song, it fit the character really well. It almost reminded you of like a Dallas, the show kind of theme song or Dynasty or something like that. So I think it fits that character for sure. And like if you got cows mooing, it's
you're
over,
right? Hey, you're like over if you got cows mooing.
If you're in a box, if you come out of a box, if a cow comes out of a box, you're really sold. Fucking over. I mean, sold. That's the ultimate. I don't know where we would put this though. Probably for me, I'd probably put it at 28. 28, maybe, right after DDP.
Yeah, that's where I was thinking. Right before, between DDP and Vader.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I can get down with that. That was pretty much where I was thinking anyways. Because I'm like, okay, it's not as good as Owen Hart, the Rocket, but I'm like, it really symbolizes JBL, this character of JBL.
Yeah.
And like you said, you got cows mooing, you got bells going off. Dude, you're over, man. So another guy that was really over at this time, we said that he was pretty much on the Mount Rushmore of great workers, is Mr. Eddie Guerrero.
Viva la raza!
All right, so we talked about themes that really signified wrestlers at this time. If this isn't an example of something that signifies a wrestler with Eddie Guerrero, I don't know what does.
Yeah. Here's what I'd say about it. I don't love the music. It gets over because of the I lie, I cheat, I steal part. But I don't think this theme music is anywhere near as good as this WCW theme music. That dun, 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 dun,
I get
dun,
that, dun. But with time, characters change. This era of Eddie Guerrero was nothing obviously like his WCW Eddie Guerrero. So I get that. But I just, if we're going as far as, like you said, with JBL, if it signifies, it defines a character.
Mm-hmm.
It's up there, I think. As far as the ranking goes,
I'd probably slide it right in there with JBL, kind of where we
right. I'd say I'd go right above JBL, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Right between DDP and JBL.
Yeah.
And but just
because the music isn't for me, doesn't get over real well for me. Obviously, you like the lie, cheat, and steal part, though. So, and like oh, you right, said, it does question. Go with the character.
So, like I said, let us know what you think, guys. I know we've had a lot of kickback, mainly from Amy Vaughn. I think for the most part, I think this is fairly fair enough because it's going to get harder as we go, Justin. It really is because we have so many themes on here now. We got 38 now. And
it's almost cool. Our age.
Yeah, you're right.
I just turned 37.
And then you just turned 37. I'll turn 38 in June. But yeah, it's been a lot of good interaction that we've had. And if you want to interact with us, head over to castbuy.com/ringsiderant. All our links are right there for each and every platform that we're on, each and every network we're on. Our new What a Maneuver store is over there as well. We can
find What a Maneuver.
Oh my God, he's so vascular. But only vascular if you're wearing a Ringside Rant t-shirt.
A tank top like Antonio Santos has.
That you got him for Christmas, right? Absolutely love it, man. Absolutely love it. But anyways, yeah, head over there. We're on all your major podcast platforms. Shout out to everybody that did send it in questions this week. We have another ranter of the week, Justin, this week. It is Spees from Spees in the Benchmark. So let's send it over to
him. What are we doing next week?
Oh, next week. Yeah. Good thing you said something about it. I'm swear to God, I'm looking at it right now. And I'm like, I have to say that. And I don't say it. I don't know.
See, now here, last week you shit on me for not paying attention to the show notes. And now,
well, at least I watched the right show this week.
Tide has turned.
Yeah. At least I watched SmackDown for this episode, not Raw.
Well, actually, I'm Raw so invested. I'm so invested. I watched both shows. Okay. Hey, yes. Raw was the better show.
Hey, shape it any way you want, man. Shape it any way you want. But no, next week we're going to be going over and ranting about the January 24th, 2005 edition of Monday Night Raw, the go home edition of Monday Night Raw. We're getting closer to the Royal Rumble. So you have one question out there already. This is going to be your second question. So keep an eye out for that question. It'll be in the show notes. It'll be all over our social medias. And write them down, jot them down, remember them. Devin Dowling is in the lead right now. So don't let Devin Dowling win, guys. Submit your answers. We don't want the devilish one on himself. Well, probably better than Money Mike, I guess. But
yes, for sure.
But anyways, check that out. All the rules will be right over there. And without further ado, Justin, you got anything else before we send it over to Spees?
No, just who day. Y'all think going to beat them Bengals, and it sure as hell ain't the Raiders.
And we better mount up Bills Mafia and beat the shit out of those bastards from New England.
How many people are going to be jumping through tables in the parking lot out there at the Bills Stadium this
before
weekend?
Or after the game?
Both, probably.
Well, before the game, I don't know. I'll put the over-under at 5 and I'll go over. After we win, I'm pretty sure that people are going to be so hammered anyways that there'll probably be like 100 people going through tables. So hopefully next week we'll be talking
like
about
the tables, ladders, and chairs match out there in the park,
without the chairs or area. Ladders.
Well, you never know what they might bring.
Yeah, right. So hopefully next week we'll be chatting about Bills and Bengals victories. But big shout out to Spees for being a part of the show this week as the ranter of the week. So let's send it over to him right now.
Spees.
Hey gang, Chris Spezak here from the Spees and the Benchmark Show. Thrilled to be the guest ranter of the week. Thanks to RJ Krzyzewski and everybody over at Ringside Rant for having me. And we're looking at the January 13th episode of SmackDown from the year 2005. Of course, this episode really personified everything that we've come to know and love about mid-2000s WWE. Agriculture, kidnapping, and one-legged wrestlers. What's up with running RVD out there on one leg? The guy went away for like a year after this match because of the knee injury. I know you got to do something, but you don't have to injure one of the best wrestlers in the company at the time. It was disappointing to see that, but, you know, not an altogether unpleasant match. The Cabinet, otherwise known as the Basham Brothers, get the win and win the tag team titles. You had three titles defended on this show and an appearance by, of all people, Roderick Strong. Yes, that Roderick Strong. 17 years ago, he popped up on SmackDown for a match against Kurt Angle where he just had to beat the clock. And as you can figure, it didn't go well for him. Kurt Angle gets the win there. Kenzo Suzuki got crushed by John Cena because John Cena crushed everybody at this time. He retained the U.S. title. And the big storyline, we had the Cruiserweight title match in there. It was okay. The big storyline was the kidnapping of Joy Giovanni. The Big Show is very upset, having convulsions, trying to find her. And JBL is receiving an award from the Florida Agriculture Group as their Man of the Year. I don't know where they come up with this stuff. Anyway, Kurt Angle comes out. They find Joy tied up in the trunk of JBL's limousine, and all mayhem ensues. I guess it was an all right episode, but you injured Rob Van Dam. You only had a little bit of John Cena, and most of the show was spent between two women who were going to have a match, and it didn't even happen because Joy never showed up, and the match ended in a forfeit. You know, decent show. What are you going to do? Thanks again to RJ Krzyzewski and everybody over at Ringside Rant. You guys take care, and thanks for letting me come talk on the show.